Good evening. I'm on. Okay, good. How's everybody tonight? Are there good. Are there a lot of people connected tonight? If there's a small group, let's just disconnect it and watch a Christmas movie in the houses or something like that. Turn to chapter 22 of Genesis. 22. I mentioned to you before, as a young believer, how I went to these people, these characters, we call them biblical characters, and studied their lives. And I found from many of them real lessons and encouragement. And when you're in this part of Galatians, this part of Genesis, it's interesting. You have Abraham, and you're going to have Isaac. Isaac was, he was all right. And then Jacob and Joseph. But you're going to have a lot of people. Joseph and Moses. And later on, you get to David. Years ago, I did a study that I thought was really interesting for me. I took the life of David, and I followed up the Psalms that were attributed to David. And then I looked up what was supposed to be the happening in his life, the reason why he wrote the Psalm. And I went through that, and I had the most delightful time reading how God dealt with these people. And I've learned a lot from them, so I'm enjoying this. I think that Christian young people should learn how to study these people. There's a lot in their lives, but one of the biggest things, the most important thing, is how God is working with them and teaching them all along. This part of the book of Genesis has a lot of names of God, first mentioned of the names of God. And they're almost all as a result of something that the people went through and discovered about God. And they never forgot. Right. So anyway, chapter 22, but I want to go back to chapter 21, verses 33 and 34. Okay, the last verses of chapter 21. And it says, and then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And that's interesting, because by now Abraham is learning something about the character of God. You know, there were El is a word for God, and people had names for all kinds of gods. And Abraham is learning that the all-powerful one, the almighty one, has certain characteristics. And these characteristics were important to him. And so Abraham now said the everlasting God. Abraham had been brought out of his homeland, delayed a bit in Haran, went off to the land, and Abraham is discovering that God has a character, a person, a personality, a way of dealing. So bear in mind that name, Everlasting God. Now, chapter 22, verse 1, the opening verse has a way of introducing what would be a brand new step in his life. It says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, I am here. It came to pass after these things. That's also found in chapter 15, 1 to 4. It came to pass after these things. It means that God is opening a new chapter, something brand new, and developing the work of God in Abraham. So a lot of things have been settled. What's been settled by the end of chapter 21? Well, you have many things that have taken place, right? You have Hagar and Ishmael cast out, put out. All right, that's done. The whole thing about what child is going to be the one that God uses, and what woman's going to be important, and Sarah's hurting, and the family tension, all of that's done now. Things are better, certain problems been put aside, and it looks like things should be pretty good, pretty easy. When you start the song, it says, now it came to pass after the thing that God tested Abraham. So right now, things ought to be pretty good. They're as good as they've been in years. And Abraham's better relationship with Sarah, and some people are gone. He's made some covenants with Abimelech about wells, water, and being partners and close. So what you have is that this is going to open something new. And it's a little perplexing because Abraham's 100 years old, and he has now seen everything that God intended. And so you would think now he's going to just go off into his sunset years pretty smoothly. But now something's going to happen. And it said God tested. And this word is not the same word as tempted. Satan tempts. Satan works on us to tempt us to dishonor God. Satan works on us to do some things that would hurt our peace and hurt what God has planned for us. This is something where the Lord is going to test Abraham. His purpose is to show his true character. Now, I'd like you to go over to Hebrews chapter 11, please. And I'll just do this quickly. Hebrews chapter 11, all right, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, and Isaac, your seed shall be called. Accordingly, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received in them a figurative sense. There's going to be some kind of type in a sense, a figurative. But Abraham was tested. This same kind of term, the writer of Hebrews. God comes into this man's life and tests him, and it's interesting. Basically, I've written down Abraham's still going to the school of faith, never stops. We may be old and my ministry is cut down and I'm not able to do as much as before, or I'm not as sharp as before, but we're not to the place where we're just going to cruise. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to work with us and help us to understand things. And the idea is this word testing suggest the idea of testing the inner life of Abraham, what has really been going on in his life. We know the actions, but what has been taking place? What's he been learning? What's he seeing in all of this? So this is an important section, and it's not just done for typological reasons either. There's a lot here about many things. So Abraham's in the school of faith, but he's 100 years old. So things are good. As I said, Hagar and Ishmael are gone. Isaac is growing and unopposed, but something new happened. And so I'd like to just go over briefly some of the steps in the school of faith that Abraham went through that are leading up to this, right? I'll make this pretty quick, but the first test Abraham was the family. One, leave your homeland, leave your family, go to a place I have destined for you. That's a big step. You'll find that in Genesis chapter 11. That's a big step. Our Lord Jesus Christ talked about moms and pops and families and relatives. And we have to go beyond that. We can't let any of that stop us. And this is something our Lord spoke about. You'll see it in Abraham's life. Our Lord spoke about it. And what's surprising is today, when I was closer to young people who were talking about the mission field, many of them brought up the issue of their home. How can I leave? And what if they die when I'm gone? Or what if they nobody's there to witness? They don't know Christ. So this is something that's important. So it was the family test. You're going to have to leave your family. And not that the family's bad, but you've got to follow God, and you cannot let your family influence you in this. It's a hard thing to do. But faith is important. And I think it's interesting that Jesus brought it up to his disciples. And it's still talked about today by young people. Our Lord had
I don't know. I lost John just now. I don't know if others had lost him too. He's just frozen up on my screen.
Yeah, it looks like his internet connection is maybe.
Yeah, I lost him too.
Yep, I lost him.
All right, well, I'm sure he'll join back in shortly.
You want to text Donna? To alert her? Who can do that?
I can do that.
We lost him at about 7:11.
All right, let's see.
The transcript shows when he cut off.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a view full transcript.
Yeah.
So.
Where would that be?
He's under more. And view full transcript.
Anymore.
Or it might just say live transcript.
Yeah. You film, yep.
He was talking about family. That's where I left off.
To the disciples. Mm-hmm. It's because it's so windy out there, it just blew it out.
Okay, here
he is.
There he is.
He's muted.
You just need to unmute and then. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
All right. Did I do something wrong? I usually blame it on me. If anything happens, it's me. And that's good. Now, what was I talking about? The Packers or the bad? What are you talking about? Oh, Abraham. Okay. So his delay, but with his clan, his father. The point is, he received nothing really new, but he did know something. One, I want you to go. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to tell you when you get there. So he doesn't know where he's going. And that's really typical of us when we try to walk by faith. We have no idea what God's going to do. So when he does arrive there at the land, he builds an altar. And you'll know that he builds altars a couple of times. He builds an altar to thank God, and he's there. But the problem there is that, okay, wrong, other side of the sheet. Problem is that they're still testing. This is the land. So, okay, I'm here now. I'm on my way to the mission field. I'm learning the language. I'm here, see. But what takes place is he gets there and there's a famine. Now, whatever he's thinking at that time, this is the land God wants to give me, and there's no food, and it's famine, and I don't know what God wants. I mean, why would he lead us here? So he chooses to go to Egypt. And of course, you know, the first mention of Egypt gives the idea that Egypt is almost always spoken of as kind of negative in the scriptures, and a place where people run when they're looking for the world's help. Okay, so the next thing was a famine test. And he doubted that God was going to help. I mean, it doesn't make sense to lead me here. Why lead me here and I have this trial right away? But this is what we learn about faith, right? So after that, he went back to the land in chapter 13, 4, and he built an altar. And he's back there, but he had two things he picked up in the world. One, Hagar. All right. He got Hagar for Sarah, Sarah's maid, and Hagar was going to come back with him. And the other thing besides Hagar is that even though Lot went with him from the Ur of Chaldees, Lot learned to love the world. Boy, he loved Egypt. And when he was in Egypt, he loved the wealth and he loved the material things. So he comes back and there's a difference between the two of them. And what God is going to do then is he's going to work with Abraham. He's going to show Abraham, what did you learn about me from Egypt? So you know the story. Lot comes back and there's struggle between the two clans, the tribes, and Lot is given a choice. I have to be honest, I've always thought Abraham's dealing with Lot in this situation was an incredible act of faith. Because there is Abraham, and he said to Lot, look, we have to settle this. We can't stay together. You pick where you want to go. And Lot can't believe it. He's standing there thinking, whoa, see, I can't believe he's giving me this choice. What happened is that Lot learned to love the world in Egypt. Abraham learned to trust the Lord more. But don't forget, Abraham brought back something that was going to be a snare to him. All right, so I'll move on. So this thing with Lot was important. What an incredible thing. Can we trust God? Look, you go first. Lord, just lead them. Take care of them. Take care of this problem. Can we trust him when we think we've lost or feel we've lost? All right. So anyway, he gave Lot the first choice. Now, another choice would be this testing of his fatherhood. God is, here's a land. I'm going to give it to you. Come out here tonight. Look at the sky. Wow. See, this is going to be the heritage through you, your seed. All right. So Sarah can't have any children. You know the story, how it is. And so what happens is Sarah falls back on culture. What Abraham did culturally wasn't wrong. All right. And so Abraham went with Hagar. She had this child. and it was culturally accepted. She couldn't be a wife, but the child would be his, and he could do with what he wanted with the child. So there's this temptation. This temptation that Abraham has to take Hagar. I'd like to point out another first mention. And go to chapter 16, please. Let's talking about Hagar. All right. Chapter 16. Chapter 16, 1 to 10. All right. Now, you know the story. Hagar, Sarah says, get rid of her. They're not dealing with her right. Get rid of her. I want her gone. And that doesn't really settle the problem about having children nor the problem between him and Sarah. But anyway, I want to go on. Now, there's something here that's interesting. Hagar gets out, and let's go to verse 5, he brought him out and he showed him the heavens. And 16, 1 to 10. Then Hagar leaves. And it says that, you find it. Hagar, verse 11. And six, 11. And the angel said to Hagar, now this is Hagar who'd been cast out. I see Hagar and Ishmael as the innocent parties. Hagar had no power to choose. I see him in innocent party. What I'm simply saying, I know what happened, and I know what happened with the Arab nations. But in this sense, it wasn't that Hagar was laying a trap for Abraham, or that her son was trying to put aside Abraham, take over. Anyway, I want to notice some verse 10 of chapter 16. No, go back to verse 7. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from? And she said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Hagar. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress. Now this is interesting. Because the way this angel of the Lord is, this is a crystal fact. You know that, a manifestation of Christ. This woman who'd been thrown out sees something that many people never saw. Abraham saw. This is the angel of the Lord, and he's talking to her. And I find it interesting because she's supposed to be a problem, and he is showing something to her. That's absolutely incredible. All right, so, where are we here? So, verse 9, the angel of the Lord said to return to your mistress. And then verse 10, the angel of the Lord said, for I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that you shall not be counted for multitude. And, the angel of the Lord revealed himself to her. So here's what he says in verse 17. I may have the wrong reference here. Christmas shopping, okay? I may have the wrong reference here. But God reveals to her that I see. I'm the God who sees. I'm El Roy. That's the name of God, and that's the first mention of it. I'm the God who sees. All right. And so what I'm saying about Hagar is that God showed himself to her, verse 13 of chapter 16. And then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees. For she said, I have also seen him who is here. This is miraculous. I don't want to make more out of it than I should. But, you know, sometimes people whose lives are messed up, it's really not their fault in a sense, not with her. And instead of God just letting her go, he actually shows himself to her. And she says, I've seen him. What I'm saying is that this woman learned something. I'm not exactly sure what, but I don't think she went out an absolute pagan in the sense that she had no understanding of God. I thought I'd throw that in because God cares for neglected people. He cares for people who have difficulty. And sometimes he sympathizes with them. So this is important. And the one who shows to her. So she learned something. She went back. And so she was able, when she left, to recognize that God saw her path. And when she and Ishmael went out for good, and God spoke to her about him being a nation, she had understood that God knows all about us and things are okay. All right. So Abraham had the father test. All right. A big test was when he had finally had to send Ishmael away. You know, says last week in chapter 20, Abraham's heart was broken. It was hard for him to do this. It's not an easy thing. Because there's some love he had there, something he wanted to have. And God's beginning to test him, something he wanted and he wanted to cling to. And it was hard for him to trust the Lord to go beyond that. So what happened there is that after Isaac was born, the angel had appeared to Hagar. And interesting. So he has to send Ishmael away. And but when they finally go, his heart is free. Okay, done. So we're back in chapter 22. And I'm showing you the steps of faith in his life. So here, this test comes in, right? And this is going to be tough. Not all difficulties in life are necessarily a test from God. Some of the difficulties, like Abraham and Hagar, were not a test from God. It was disobedience, presuming that this is the way God's going to work, not waiting on him, right? So this is important to understand. His own disobedience caused the pain and disruption. Now he's going to be faced with something, a brand new chapter in life, and we're going to see a different man, different man in trusting God. So it's really important to distinguish between temptations of Satan, whose object is to get us into sin and disobey God, and God's testing to show us the depths of our heart. All right. So not all believers experience the same trials of faith either. We're all different. This for Abraham was a hard one, but we don't all face the same thing. God knows our needs. And so we don't always face the same experience. And God's testings are also, I believe, tailor-made for particular things in our life for each believer. Our experience is unique. I could tell you stories, what happened in Columbia, how it took me forever for us to get going, and it would just be my story. Maybe not even that fast, my story. But it was really interesting because all along the way we had to trust God. I was with new tribes. I resigned. The assembly people in Columbia quickly embraced me. I was surprised. Come, join us. You think like we do. Now, you know, I don't really do it. But you think like we do. And we can use you. And I thought, well, wow, this is what I think. I've been reading enough to figure I didn't know people like this existed in the mission field. I didn't know that there were groups like this. Anyway, to make a long story short, I made that step. I was embraced by them. I was going to get down on the south side of the city and go up on the hills, these areas where there's squatter shacks, start working, and then all of a sudden, I lost my support. Everything. Not a penny was coming in. And the next thing you know, I had to start teaching English. I had no time for the work. I was going at 6 in the morning, sometimes now up to 9 or 10 at night, teaching conversation in English. And I often thought that was kind of funny because I don't speak English very well anyway. Anyway, during those times, there was no light at the end of the tunnel. There was just one question in my mind. Why would God lead me to this way to work with this group of people where I'm able to use my gift? Why would he? And then shut the door. People were writing. Now, one person encouraged us to stay. They were writing me, well, it's proof that God's not in your life. You're not getting support. And that means God not come home. And one group even said, come home. We'll pay for your airfare. We'll rent you an apartment. We'll help you get back on your feet. And then you can go get a job. You're not qualified. Well, you're not getting one. My point is, it was unique for me. Telling that story is, but it was unique for me. Day after day after day, just going downtown, teaching the class and coming home. And then after a period of time, after I had thought about things, I'm not going home. Lord, I don't know why you're doing this, but you brought me to this moment and I'm staying. And it came one time when I was on the microbus going downtown, a question came to me. John, what if I wanted you to stay and teach English in the school for the rest of your ministry and see if you could win these people? And for the first time I said, Lord, if that's what you want, you've got to help me to do it. Within about 3 weeks, I quit. A little trickle of money came in. Things went on. My point is, it was for me. So the story is not more very important, not worth much. It's just a person's own struggle. But it was really important. We stayed, we waited, and God showed. And I can never forget that, especially with all the people telling me to come home and saying that I wasn't fit to be a worker. Wow. So that was mine. But it was God working with me. All right, so we'll move on. Anyway, God's testings are tailor-made for each believer. Our experience is unique. This is Abraham. And again, I said, you and I have to learn to distinguish between testing and trial. God never asked Lot. He asked Abraham. But he didn't deal with Lot this way. Lot made his choice. Go on. See, it isn't the same thing. The enemy got a hold of Lot. But for Abraham, God is going. So Lot was being tempted by the world, but Abraham was being tested by God. The other thing is, the trial came suddenly. Now, I have another week to speak, by the way, so we'll get this done one way or the other. The trial came suddenly, out of nowhere. You read the last verses of chapter 21, and it looks like it's finally going to go smoothly. And then out of nowhere, this testing came. And it rattles Abraham, shakes him up, right? Trial came suddenly. And so Abraham is facing something. Isaac is happy. Abraham's happy. The marriage is better, I think. Right. And now this comes up. So what is being tested is this. Has he learned to love anything? Does he still hold on to something? Does he still have a place in his heart where he's holding on and loves something and has to be dealt with? So had he completely put God first? It appears he did. But this is going to be, wow, this is going to be a test. That is going to be the worst test he ever failed. And it's hard to believe, except the fact that God would do this. But God knows what he wants to do in his life. All right. Abraham left home. He became homeless. And so he's being tested. And this testing seems absolutely unreasonable. What kind of test is this? Putting me through all of this, finally giving us an answer to our prayers. What kind of test is this? This seems totally unreasonable. Why would you do that? Doesn't even seem right. And that's part of the problem that happens in these testings, is that we begin to think that God isn't being reasonable, that what he's asking us to do is impossible, hard. And so you have this in the life of Moses and David and the others. What Abraham is going to learn here is to live by the promises of God. Romans 4:17. All right. Romans 4:17, please. What Abraham has to learn is, I live by the promises of God, God, word, and what he says, he is the God Almighty, the God of truth. So Abraham, chapter 4 of Romans, okay, and verse 13, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs of faith, is made void and the promise is done effect. Now, this is going to be, let me see, 4:17. It says, I'm in the right chapter, people. Okay, 4:17. It is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom we believe, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist, though they did. Who, contrary to hope, and hope believed, that he became the father of many nations, according to what was written, you, so shall your descendants be. And not weak in faith, he considered his own body, all right, and he did not waver the promise of God through unbelief. That's what I wanted to bring up. Paul brings a lot out here, the promises of God. By now, Abraham has learned something. God has kept his promises. He's been working, and Abraham is thinking differently. I'm not going to question him. I'm going to move ahead in this. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, one more time. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 and 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. This is interesting. The only begotten son. This is mean unique, only one. He had a son in Ishmael. He had a son with his other children. But this one right here is the one and only choice, the only one that's going to bring blessing. And of course, that makes sense to us, doesn't it? All right. So, in Isaac, your seed shall be called. Verse 19, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received in figurative language. Abraham by now is sinner.
think we lost him again. I'm going to text Donna.
How did we get them back last time?
We didn't. They just connected again.
Oh, they logged back in.
Yeah. Well, I texted her, so we'll see. His connection did not appear like it was low. Like you can see on my connection right now, there's three bars next to Wauwatosa Bible Chapel. Or four bars, and his got a little low and it was yellow for a little bit, but sometimes it goes red, then that means your connection's bad.
But does he need to upgrade Wi-Fi?
Could be anything, but he's never had a problem before, so I doubt that.
Well, we like his Bible study.
Yeah. In fact, all the times he's done it, he's really haven't had too many problems with his connection.
But John's so good at reading between the lines a bit in scripture and bringing out things that you don't really necessarily see by reading, like the Hagar-Abraham relationship and even spoken to by the Lord. Hagar was. Pass over that.
Right. Okay, here he goes.
Maybe Donna can tell us when her power goes down, when some kind of monitor.
I don't know what's going on, but it keeps shutting off on us. I think I've got him. Okay, you can try again.
That's a hint. It's 7:45. I had distraction today. I had a dentist appointment and I had a bridge put in. When these people work on your mouth, they maul your mouth. In there with tools and banging and drilling. And so I'm going to finish this. I'm going to be doing some next week, but what is important is this. We don't demand explanation from God. What we do is we believe his promises. It was considered unreasonable, but when we ask for explanation, why would you do that? It is his promises. And some people say, what sort of God would do something like that? I remember years ago, you probably heard it years ago, somebody who was going to go to the mission field and decided not to, married somebody from the church in Milwaukee. Actually, it was Vic Elias' brother. And married him, and the first child she had was impaired, had a difficulty. And right away people were saying that is God's punishment for her. She loved him too much and so on and so forth. That may sound extreme, but you'd be surprised what it's like when you get among some fundamentalist group, particularly when it comes to God's service. They have a lot of things. So I'll pick this up next week. What's important to understand is that it's the promises of God we live by, not explanations. All right. And so we know Abraham is going to learn a lot. The sacrifice of Isaac seemed to go against what God would do, but God promised an heir. He said, it's in your seed, and so on. I'm going to leave that. Sorry for the problem, for the difficulty. Pick it up next week. But all of the questions you ask, Lord, why me? And why this and why that? We need to learn, but we also need to realize that God can do the things he wants. I'll pick it up next week in regard to Abraham. And he's a very interesting person. We'll finish this up. And I have a few other things to say about biblical characters living by faith. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word, as we study it and read it personally, has so many things to teach us. We read the Old Testament, and suddenly we see people going through trials. And we say those trials are similar to ours, having a hard time trusting you, loving things that we shouldn't love, doing some things to hurry your blessings along that we should not do. And we learn from these people. Thank you, Father, for what we learned from Abraham, that this only begotten, one and only Son, think of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the one you sent into the world, and his life, his death, his resurrection, the promises of his working in our lives, and empowering us and strengthening us, making us able to bear things. We thank you for it. And bless us all during this holiday season with the families, with our friends. And thank you for your love for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ciao.
Very good, John.
Yeah, thanks, John. It's got to be a little bit frustrating for the internet.
No. So we could look at the prayer list that was emailed out. I'll read from the prayer handbook. The country is Peru.